B-Pod Studios.
Cantor. This is Enes Kanter.
Yes, Hernan Gomez with big bodies banging the paint. Kanter steps through and scores.
And you're listening to 98.5, the Sports Hub.
This is where Boston sports fans start their day.
Oh, now, focus.
With Toucher and Rich on Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Well, this is going swimmingly.
I can't hear you, Fred.
We can't hear you.
All right. Well, okay, now here I am.
There you go.
All right. All right, here we are.
Okay, so the way it's set up, Fred Toucher is right now in the room that usually Dan O'Brien, our producer, is in. If you've ever seen the television side of things on either Zolak and Bertrand or Felger and Maz, he's standing where Chase Stu usually is. Fred, it's time once again for us to do a little research into what is available on the 98.5 The Sports Hub Podcast Network. God knows you hear commercials for plenty of our podcasts. And I heard that there's a special one that was recorded just last night. This is one that had to be right off the presses.
Was this another emergency one?
I believe this was.
All right.
Had to be done, I'm sure, around like 11:30 last night after a certain pay-per-view.
I mean, the listeners demanded. I mean, as soon as the event's over, I mean, you got to batten down the hatches and get this done.
Let's go to another edition of Jay Stu, Jimmy Stewart from the Felger and Maz Show, and Mike Sarge Riley from the podcast Wrestling Inside the Ropes. Fred, let's let it roll.
Welcome to Wrestling Inside the Ropes.
Hey, I need something that rocks.
I had to edit this intro down by about a minute and a half. Like, it's like the most gratuitous intro.
Hey, you know what it smells like in here? Halitosis and dead animal.
The stench from the 2-6 show.
Yes. Hey, guys, give me something that rocks. Rock your socks off to let you know some badass wrestling's on the way.
Welcome to Wrestling Inside the Ropes with James Stewart.
I'm the best. I'm the best in the world.
And Mike Sarge Riley.
I don't know if you realize it or not, but you're trespassing on private property.
Wrestling Inside the Ropes.
Mike, we both watched AEW's Full Gear pay-per-view event from Saturday night, and I think the lead stories coming out of that show is the lights-out match with Jon Moxley and Kenny Omega. I want to make it perfectly clear, I loved the violence.
Let me tell you something. Blood. Blood, sweet blood. And hey, you know, people, I think they might have been really hurt, which I love.
Jon Moxley, he's so macabre. It's as if Edgar Allan Poe was a human form and splattering his plasma all over our televisions.
The best is when the blood hit the camera lens and I frantically tried to lick. Then I realized that it was just on the inside of the TV. Let me go on record. This is on the record. I love the violence.
Coming out of that show is the lights out match with Jon Moxley and Kenny Omega. I want to make it perfectly clear, I loved the violence in this Jon Moxley Kenny Omega lights out match, which turned into an old CCW death match. Which,
what?
A good old CCW death match, yeah. Where someone dies.
He's just like, I'm out here whittling on the front step in 2045. Good old fashioned, whatever he said, death match.
If someone doesn't die, can you really call it a death match?
Well, listen, it's you fight to the death.
Or the quote unquote death.
I just picture him with like a hayseed in his mouth, like laying back on like a rocking chair, whittling away, talking to his grandchildren. Oh, yeah. Remember those death matches? That was pretty sweet.
Which right. I dig. And if you're asking me to tell you the difference between a street fight, a lights out match, and a death match, I would tell you that a death match means that they're just out to hurt each other, you know, using mouse traps.
We used to play the game Mouse Trap only with real mouse traps. Our version just, we'd put a bunch of mice on a board. Whoopsie, there goes your head. Oh, what? Take away the pain? No siree, Bob. And the winner would be whose mouse suffered the longest.
How long the squeaking went before the eventual silence.
Hey, buddy, we know your neck snapped. Knock it off and die. And to the winners go the spoils. Sometimes we'd have to stay up for hours just watching it writhe in pain.
Where's the popcorn?
A mousetrap match. Ouchie, wowchie.
I would tell you that a death match means that they're just out to hurt each other, you know, using mouse traps and spring beds full of barbed wire out on the rampway and glass. Those are death match elements, as opposed to street fights are more closer to tables and...
Excuse me while I have a cigarette and lay back. Good old-fashioned death match.
You know, barbed wire, baseball bats, and things like that. So I think that's kind of the difference. There's a reason why this match went on last with the unsanctioned stipulations.
It was violent, that's for sure. So much violence, like you said, the glass.
He's calling from a pub night. He's doing trivia.
He's doing trivia down the street.
Yeah, he's doing trivia down the street. Doesn't have time.
Excuse me one second, Jay. B-17. B-17.
Mildred, you magnificent woman, you've won again. Just pay me in cupcakes.
With the unsanctioned stipulations.
It was violent, that's for sure. So much violence, like you said, the glass. Just those moments, James, where you look at something and you have that cringe in your face. It's like, oh my God, is that really happening right now?
Yeah, when you feel the power of being responsible for someone's last breath, sure. It's intoxicating and addicting. I get it, Sarge.
Kenny Omega pulled out the ice pick, and it looked like he was, or the
there's a screwdriver, yeah.
Driver, yeah. So it looked like he was going right for Ambrose's head. He pulled the glass out and cut Moxley's hand.
Yeah, that was good stuff.
Word. Word him up. That was good. Only if he turned his hand over and the jugular was cut. Spraying blood.
Jay Stu just tweeted, hashtag violence.
Yeah, word up, Sarge. That was dope.
Talk violence to me.
Yeah. I thought he was going to use the screwdriver, too. A little disappointing, but then he brought the glass out, and I was like, word. Pretty sweet.
Ice pick, more practical. The evidence melts and no one knows you're a murderer.
Sarge, why don't you get your glasses checked? It was a screwdriver, stupid.
So it said, this sounds like two dudes talking to each other over the prison phones.
Yeah. One last caress. See you later, alligator.
Whoa.
That was good violence right there.
It was.
Whoa. Good old-fashioned violence.
Whoa.
That was good violence right there.
Well, I mean, if you're into that.
Oh, I am. Yeah. I'm a sick bleep.
He's not playing it up. That's right. I love it. Hey, I've gotten way past this. Once you cut the windpipe of a cat, it loses its allure after the 100th time. Give me something bigger. I gotta deal with a guy at the zoo. Give me one of them tigers.
I'm a sick bleep.
That's right.
These guys went all out. They gave you a good product. Whether you like it or not, you better respect it.
You know, what the hell is he talking about?
Back off.
I have no idea.
There's no criticism of this event.
Yeah. Whether you like it or not, back off.
G28.
He's
G28.
Listen, I'm doing four things at once here. I'm announcing the Lowell Spinners game while I do bingo and talk to you.
You better respect it.
You know, Vinny Marcellia, who works for Ring of Honor, was throwing darts at somebody, and they would shoot darts during a match. And I was like, oh, this is so cool. I can't believe the Beer City Bruiser agreed to take a dart to the back.
Do you hear the glee in his voice?
Yeah, I know. It's like, you see him like, oh, fantastic.
He's at like awesome. The opera, and he's holding the binoculars. Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Take another dart to the back. I can't believe you agreed.
But that's really cool.
I mean, so there you go. If you hate it, that's my point. If you're not a fan of it, you better respect it.
Oh, I love it.
I loved the violence.
I'm screwing everything up in here. All right, so we should break anyway.
Get the app. Get the Sports Hub. Get Toucher and Rich. Download the Sports Hub app today.
McAvoy gets the signal and scoops up the puck. Waltzes to the far circle, not to the slot. Shoots Montembeau, a stick save, and Florida with a 5-4 shootout come from behind victory over the Boston Bruins here at TD Garden tonight.
Michael Hutchins. Not the way you want to go out. All right, Billy Jaffe from Nesson. He does the games. And I've watched hockey with Billy before, and I could have... I heard your voice in my head. I was at some youth basketball thing yesterday, but I saw the third period overtime and obviously the shootout.
Yeah.
And I could hear your voice in my head going, shoot the effing puck. I could hear you, because every time I haven't watched hockey with Billy a million times, but I have a handful of times, and you're always just going, shoot it! Shoot it! And last night, in the third period, my Lord, even my dumbass was like, you're open in front of the net. Like, what are you possibly trying to accomplish?
I'm laughing because I say the same thing to my 9-year-olds. So I try and leave the expletive out of it.
What the hell?
By the way, very interesting conversation. Good stuff on the youth. It was more high school, I think, what you're...
It was high school. Yeah.
High school, but it affects everybody.
Everything. And that's when I got in the car to drive here 40 minutes ago, and I'm like, you know what? I have a lot of those same feelings. I'm not sure, I don't want to get off on that, but I'm just telling you, there's a lot of things that go through my head coaching youth hockey, and you guys hit on a lot, and we could talk for hours about it, and it would be important, and it would be interesting, but that's not what I'm here for. But anyway,
no, you can talk about it, but you're right, and you have been, so I take it you've coached before, like youth.
I coach every year, and okay. I've coached a team over, I go coach a team the last three, four summers over in Prague, and, you know, 15-year-olds, and it's... It's whacked out, man.
How often do you get scolded by parents?
Never. Haven't.
Well, that's probably...
I've been very lucky. I'm going to tell you right now. We're talking 9 going on 10-year-olds. I've been doing this team for years. I am so fortunate to have a wonderful group of parents. Eventually, somebody's going to get crazy and somebody's going to do something. It's the pyramid, you know?
The best advice I got, and it was yesterday from this Positive Coaching Alliance guy's a fan of the show. I'm saying that because he might be listening, but he he said, give them busy work, like the parents, I understand. Like, let's make sure these kids are hustling. So every time there's a sprint, every time a kid takes a charge, every time there's a good box out, can you just write it down? And then it shuts them up
Well, is that for them to give it to you later so they can use like the evidence against you?
Or no, what? It's to give it to them so they can shut their mouths and focus on something, give them something to do during the game.
So, you know,
I've just blown because I've announced it. So if you get that from me, you're a prick. But I've never had a bad parent either.
I've never had, you know, I've had wonderful discussions in the few years that I've done this. It's a club hockey team. There are other teams in the league that I know have a few out there incidents. Mm-hmm. It's always disturbing when you hear about them. It's no different in hockey than it is in baseball, basketball, dance, whatever. There's crazy is crazy does, mm-hmm. and it's going to always be there. Now, the problem is the issue is how do we alleviate it? How do we handle it? I have conversation with my parents every year. First, you know, meeting or whatever. I don't keep track of goals, assists, points, ice time, this, that. If you want to do that, my parents have known me now for years. You're on the wrong team. Leave. I don't mean that negatively. I mean that honestly.
Yeah.
And that's how I get out ahead of it. I believe in competition. I believe in trying to kick ass. I believe in trying to win. But not at all costs. And I tell them, look, I'd rather you go undefeated at 19 than 9. Or I said it a few years ago. I'd rather you go undefeated at 17 years old when it matters than 7.
Yeah.
We sucked when we were 7.
So the point
get out ahead of it.
Yeah, okay. But what we were talking about is that there was a case in New Jersey where a JV freshman had slid into third base, messed up his leg. This trial went on for years. The jury deliberated about it for a fairly long time, and it was going to be a 7-figure settlement. And you're saying you think about that all the time.
I do. I worry about that. I mean, I you know, we're covered by insurance or whatever.
And if you're a volunteer, they shouldn't be able to sue you personally. But right.
But we're part of a club team, so is it technically volunteer? I'm not being paid. I don't know how it works. I don't know, so I don't want to speak out of turn. All I know is that. Sure, I think about, you know, putting kids into battle drills because that's part of hockey, right?
Yeah.
Battle, and I tell kids to pick it up, and I tell them to get their asses moving, and I tell them, you know, it's in the back of your mind. It has to be. I think about it in games, you know, where you're telling guys, go after him, and I don't mean go after him to hurt. I mean, get in front of him, box him out, pick his stick, take him to the wall, all those things that are normal.
Mm-hmm.
God forbid one time something happens to one of mine or somebody else's. I mean, that would be just devastating.
And you already feel like crap if, like, any kid on your watch gets hurt. But
oh, my God.
Yeah, you feel awful.
Yeah, you're right. It's awful. But I thought it was a great conversation, and I know you guys could go on and on, but I just wanted to tell you that. With regard to shooting, yes, the Bruins, that says to me that mentally that they're thinking way too much instead of just playing, which they were doing for the first 11, 12 games of the year.
What happened? Like I mean, because this loss was bad. The one 2 nights ago was bad. Or two
they
games
also
ago
gave
bad.
Up. Now, don't forget, they gave up 4 goals in a period to Pittsburgh, and they survived that. So that's twice in the last couple of weeks. This has
the
happened.
The last 5 games, five games have been. I'm going to use the word curious, and I think you understand what that means. It hasn't been nearly now. Were they as good as the start of the season? We talked about it. There's going to be ups and downs, lulls, et cetera, whatever. Is this the actual lull? I don't know. I think this is a
annoying.
What?
Just they should have won that game.
Oh yeah, no, it's inexcusable.
Even
last
if
night.
You give up the three, even when you give up those 3 goals, they had every opportunity
that's the point.
To win.
See,
that
I don't
game.
Think this is a lull where they're just like, oh, we can't get our legs going.
No, you know,
this they're is scoring goals.
This is a mental right. This is a mental lack of focus, lack of steel, lack of finish. And I mean goal scoring. I mean lack of putting away the opponent. And, you know, we talked post-game about, you know, inexcusable, inexplicable. No, you can explain it. Look, you can see what you can explain it. You can miss marks, missed opportunities to shoot, miss checks, miss saves, miss everything.
Miss breakaways, well, miss second chances on breakaways.
Right. I mean, this is, well, yeah.
I know, Marsh. But, I know the puck was on his edge and he couldn't.
Regardless of that, I'm saying it's missed. You can explain it. It's not excuse. You can't excuse it. I guarantee you the team feels the same way. I guarantee, but that doesn't matter. They have to fix it. They're the only ones that we can talk about it till we're totally blue in the face. Doesn't matter what we say. They are the ones that now have to do it. Now, is it the end of the world yet? No. Let's not get to the edge of the cliff yet. But no, let's understand.
But Cassidy's got to be losing his mind.
Of course he is.
I mean, yesterday especially. I understand losing to the Red Wings 4-2, and it's not even the dumb comeback. It's just you could have. That game pissed me off, Billy, than any game this season.
Last night or Detroit? Sorry.
No. Last night.
I mean, it should.
Of course it should.
Because you took the punch that you got down. Absolutely. They scored three goals. Then you can't hold the lead. And then you have, you had ample opportunities to make it 5-3. Then they tied it. And then you had a million opportunities to make it 5-4. And then you had a million opportunities in overtime.
Yeah. Once they tied, I mean, I said to Barry, I said, if they tie it up here, you know they're going to win. In a shootout, probably.
Oh, yeah. The other thing. Are you happy with the lineup that they put out there for shootouts? And I know that there's some people that you would think would be good at shootouts who just aren't. Like, I mean, I know.
Pasternak is one of them.
He's one of them. And I've heard people advocate for Patrice, but Patrice isn't good in shootouts.
He's not good.
I got a question.
But what is your, what do you agree with the lineup, though, that they've been rolling out there? Because something's not working.
But they changed it last night. And what Bruce is doing last night, he's not in essence. He is saying, I told you I'm going to try something new, different, and I'm going to do it. Because right now, we literally have no goals in the shootout. It was 0-for-7 coming
into this
game.
Until last night. Yep.
Then they get one. And so he actually joked about maybe 2 weeks ago when Wagner had that beautiful goal that he went to his move and he gets the goalie moving 5-0. But I've talked about it on your show before and we're going to talk about it again. Breakaways in game and breakaways in shootouts or penalty shots are two completely different opportunities for a player. In the moment breakaways, it's amazing where you don't think much and you go with that feel and all of a sudden something happens, especially for the great goal scorers that the Bruins have. They're so freaking creative. Shootouts. You now have time to think. You know that everybody's looking at you. And it's a whole different thing.
I have a question for you because I understand why they don't put Bergeron at the top. He has bad statistics. Not fair, bad. Mm-hmm. But if you go to practice, he's so much better than everyone else. It appears like back when they even had Sagan.
Jaromir Jagr hated going into the shootout. He would tell coaches not to use him in shootouts because as unbelievable as he's still playing. As unbelievable as he is or was.
Yeah. You better believe it. Come on, baby. Playing with boobs and everything, right?
He wasn't good at that.
Bergeron's good in practice.
But that's the point. It doesn't. You had Jagr, when he wanted to practice, you know what I mean? My point is this. Some things you can explain them, but they don't seem to make sense. And you just have to say that might. I mean, the Bergeron is one of the most infallible, meaning one of the most perfect hockey players I've ever seen, ever. He still has a little bit of an issue with these shootouts. So I guarantee you he'll get a chance soon. I guarantee you, given how the Bruins are or are not in shootouts. But to say that he's got to be a regular go-to guy, the statistics don't play
out. I agree. My only point was if you watch practice, I mean, he's getting stick taps when they do the shootout drill.
Yeah, well.
I mean, when I went for the media day, I mean, they were literally tapping their sticks after Bergeron went. I mean, he's nifty. Out there. Do you know what I'm saying?
There's a lot of those. I think it's in their, not I think, I know it's in their heads now. You can look at, you can almost, the old saying, you can see them thinking.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And we were doing pregame last night, and I think it was Andy Brickley who said, you know, there's such a confidence in this team come overtime, the way that they attack the play, the way that they send people out, the way that they try for chances, and yet when they go to a shootout, there is a feeling of no confidence in the team that they exert, and what that comes down to, in my terms, and we talked about it and stuff, and pregame show, this team, in the moment, they're still beautifully phenomenal with how fluid they are, with how the connection that they have. Look, even we're starting to see Danton Heinen and David Krejci connecting, and Coyle, you know, he's shifting between center, right wing, et cetera. They made some nice plays and stuff. But in the shootout, they think, and they don't have confidence compared to in regular.
All right. Do you want to hang out or what?
Hang out for a few minutes?
Absolutely. I'm not driving 40 minutes to talk for time.
Smart move by you.
Dan said, hey, can you come in at 9:20 late last night? And then he starts giving me the look. He starts looking at his watch when I walk in.
Yeah, because you came in a minute and a half before you were supposed to be on the air.
But wait a second.
With stupid bananas.
It's my pre-workout banana, but listen.
What is your deal with that Orange Theory?
I haven't been for a couple, 2 weeks. I've been traveling a lot, so I'm going. I'm going right now. I need to get.
Did they turn the lights off and put on like dance lights?
That's the boot camp.
That's when you go. Well, to boot camp.
The Thankfully, cycle. That's Amp Cycle too, baby.
Oh, no,
they suspended my wife from Amp Cycle.
Why?
What could she have done?
They said, well, first of all, she vomited, and second of all, she got in a fight. No,
no.
They said that she said that she was reserving bikes and not showing up.
Oh,
so they suspended her till the 20th.
No good.
Okay.
Don't they usually just charge you for that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's usually they get around it.
Charge
for
the sarge. You go to Lifetime, baby. You ain't paying for nothing.
Wow.
Unless it's gluteus maximus.
You get suspended? I got suspended once from a golf course, but that was because I did something.
You got a letter?
It.
What'd you do? Did you get the letter?
I did get a letter, too.
What'd you do on the golf course to get you suspended, Billy?
I had an issue with one of the employees told me what I felt.
You can't screw with the employees.
You got a little bit of an anger.
You come to blows with
this? You got this story? Your Uber rating is in the toilet?
My Uber rating's up.
to what?
I have no idea. I had an Uber driver that was dangerous as hell. And all I said to him one time, and I was like nervous because we came this close, as I know we're on radio, but, you know, inches apart from what I felt was an accident. And I'm like, holy smoke. I'm like, whoa. Like, literally, I'm ducking. I'm doing, you know, in the back seat. And the guy's like, I said, listen, man, I said, listen, I got kids. You got kids? I want. And he took it that I thought I was threatening. I'm like, what do you mean I'm threatening? I'm saying, like, I want to see my kids.
I had a guy come up in like a wood paneled van that when I was with my kids and the seatbelts didn't work and he's giving me attitude why I won't get in. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, my rating's up.
What is it now?
I have no idea, really, but I saw about 3, if not 4 months ago, I'm like, oh, it actually went up.
All right. Well,
yes, I want to stay, and I was on time.
Okay, we will, barely. We'll be back. We will. We have a bit of a show announcement coming up at 9:50, and here are the headlines.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Billy Jaffe from Nesson in studio. You want to talk to Mark from Medford? He calls in every day. Mark from Medford, hello.
What's up, Billy?
What's up?
Billy.
Yo.
I missed the first segment of when you got in, so I don't know if you touched on it, but Charlie McAvoy, what planet is this kid on right now? Because he's not on planet Earth. I think he needs to go to the ninth floor for a game or two and assess what he's was doing wrong. Don't you think?
He's definitely not where you want his level to be at regularly. I'm not ready to do that, but I'm ready to, you
There's
know,
no way they do that.
Oh, I'm not, you know, Mark is a passionate fan. He's
yeah, let's take but, the kid but, and ruin his confidence.
You know, but he had some really, he had some really good things too, moving his feet and getting involved, but he doesn't, I mean, we're talking 4 assists now only through. Oh, how many games are we at now? Geez, 19? I'm awful at numbers.
Whatever.
We're talking about this last night too. Just 4 assists, and you want him to do more, and you want him to shoot more. You know, he had the puck in the middle of the ice, and that to me says he's just not feeling confident right now. He has been in the past a player where, you know, when he gets going and it comes a little bit more in bunches, but he needs to shoot. He needs to shoot, and he needs to shoot, and he needs to get involved more. There's no question about it, and. He needs, like some guys, especially lately, he needs to be better. No question. And he has it in him.
He does need to shoot.
He
passed up a bunch of opportunities yesterday.
Yeah.
That was a really frustrating game. Forget giving up the lead. Just sitting there, you're open in front of a net and you can't, you try to finesse it through 3 defensemen.
But what makes matters more frustrating is that, as you said, you've given up the lead, then you have these chances, and how do you handle those chances? At the very least, what they had one post that happened. They shot the puck from the slot area there, but there were, I think, 3 other times when basically they gave up better for more. The problem is more doesn't work in the NHL. You don't go for more. Take that shot. You so rarely get time and space in the NHL from within 18, 20 feet. And these guys can rocket the puck.
What are your hockey friends think about Don Cherry right now? What's going on with him? Because, I mean, he's somebody that for years was an icon.
Iconic. Yeah, you're right.
He didn't change. The world around him did.
Exactly. And his I think his resistance to not addressing it right away, I'm going to guess he was asked to. And
he's kind of doubled down on it, too.
And you're asking what a lot of my people are hearing, that most people agree.
Because it sounds like mixed feelings amongst like people like who are obviously Canadian, grew up with Hockey Night in Canada. They loved the guy for what he was on TV, obviously him being a great coach as well, or at least somebody that people liked.
I think a lot of them are afraid just to come out and say, listen, this is who this guy has been, and, you know, this is who he continues to be.
Most people that I've either heard from, spoken with, said this was coming. I know that there was...
They might want to get rid of him because of his age. Does the money he make have anything to do with this?
No. I think money has a big thing to do with this, though, because advertisers were starting to come down on CBC/Rogers or Rogers Sportsnet. And that's, in that case, money does have something to do with it. There was talk a couple of years ago about moving on from him. And he's walked fine line for a long time. The world has changed. Many people, look, everybody's entitled to their opinion. That doesn't mean, though, that your opinion is going to lead you to a better place or to a better situation. Free speech is free, absolutely. We're all in favor of that. But you know what? Doesn't mean that it's always going to get you, you know, what you want. And most people just said, you know what? This was finally it. Especially, the people that I heard from up there.
Yeah, this was the one. Yeah. Got him. All right. Well, I think we need to take a break. We have a show announcement.
Okay, good luck.
Yep. So we will...
Nice to see you guys.
We will break, and when
I'll
we come
I'll be 3 minutes
back.
Ahead next week.
Okay. All right, well...
You guys are the best.
You're pre-workout banana. You don't want to cramp up. All right.
I don't.
There you go. We will be back with our show announcement in just a moment.
Boston's home for sports. Tucker and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We will have the announcement coming up here before we get to 10 o'clock. Zolak and Hardy in studio. Hello, gentlemen.
Hi.
How you doing?
Good morning.
Hi.
Good morning.
How was your night, Rich?
It was good.
Have a good time?
Belly full of trash can nachos.
Saw that.
Well, it was full for about an hour.
Wow.
And then we weren't full. I feel the same way.
And then I felt a presence in the force.
Then it was time to unload some unwanted baggage.
It was an awakening. It was an awakening.
Yes. So you only had 10 tickets to the game?
Yep, only 10.
That is the most fascinating defense of this whole thing. It's like, I only had 10 tickets. What am I supposed to do? Invite the partner that I've been working with for 12 years?
Fred would be the last one I would give free tickets to anything.
No, but I understand that. I understand you.
I don't care not being invited. I just thought it was weird that Dan and I weren't told, like, hey, the show's going out on a show.
I find it weird. Rich put Walk in an uncomfortable position because, like, he's part of the show, and, like, you're the only one. You and Dan, like, wow.
He's got his own thing going on. The
well, this is more. This is more
he's
important.
Got something else.
This is so much more important. Yeah. Shut up.
The odd defense number two was that Rich, like, I didn't pay for these. Yes, yeah. Which makes it even. It is more of an obligation to share the
Would
proverbial
you have
wealth.
Offered Fred tickets.
I'd put the offer.
Yes,
in
and if you did, in your position,
I would offer Fred tickets before Nick, I'd be being a dick.
It's not offering the tickets.
Okay, yeah, so there's one
still,
ticket.
You're still operating under the notion that these tickets were given to you as Rich Schertenlieb, private citizen.
Yeah.
They're not. They were given to Rich of Toucher and Rich. So now, I have all these tickets as Rich from Toucher and Rich.
Yes, and I gave them to members of the show. I did.
But didn't mention it to another member of the show?
Why would I do it? It wasn't Rich as Toucher and Rich. I'm doing an endorsement. And they said, here's
Rich
tickets.
Of Toucher and Rich.
Okay, so if you got free tickets, and
which I do,
from
show.
The midday show,
you would have offered them to Zolak.
Yes, I would say, hey, look, I was given all these tickets.
Hey, you know what?
Because I'm on the show. Do you guys want to go?
How would you feel if Del Frisco's?
Maybe not Zoe, and here's another unspoken thing. Maybe there's another reason why Fred wasn't invited. And that's, I don't know.
I don't have an issue with not being invited. I had an issue of that it was held secret between...
You got blindsided. You know,
I take them to... I mean, I give them tickets to, like, screenings all the time and stuff like that.
I know, I understand
So,
that,
I mean, this happens all the time.
But this was a show outing.
This wasn't a show outing. I had tickets, I gave them to the people who I work with. I'm like, here you go, have
tickets. This was not, hey, guys, let's go over to Sullivan's.
I saw the post, and I go, where is Fred? Oh, Fred wouldn't go anywhere.
Was our general manager there?
Fred probably banged out.
I don't know. I haven't. I didn't see her
because salespeople were coming up to Bird and Dan and saying,
"I told them that I was going to give them to some people on the show." They said, "What are you going to do with the tickets?" I said, "I'll give them some people on the
and
show."
And they were shocked that Dan was unaware of it.
Okay, well,
Dan pushes the buttons like Dan puts you on air.
I always go back to only 10. You know, what am I going to do?
I don't even care that I wasn't invited. I thought it was very strange.
Fred, you're being
that
weird.
I
mean, you had 10 tickets.
If it hurt your feelings, I'm sorry.
It hurt my feelings.
Okay, well, I am truly sorry that I did not mean to hurt your feelings. And if you'd like to go to Tool with us, you're invited, but you got to buy your own tickets.
I wasn't invited.
But you see right there, Fred?
Because you didn't like Tool.
I also don't want to go to Tool. But, I go to Bruins games.
You like Bruins? He likes drinking at Bruins games.
Mm-hmm. But that was an important moment there that just happened. I want you to acknowledge it. Rich said, I'm sorry. And you can still think it's weird, but I think you should accept his apology, and now it's okay.
What have I said? I haven't said anything
I think you should acknowledge his apology. Maybe I think that would be the right thing
Fred,
to do.
Fred, would you be as big a bitch if this was like 10 tickets to Comic-Con and he didn't like...
I am truly sorry. I feel bad that you feel bad.
That's okay. Come on. You feel bad that I feel bad. It pissed me off. I didn't think that it was... Is right. I think that, you know, if
I thought it was a radio stunt.
Scott did think it was a radio stunt.
I went back and listened to the podcast. It was the talk of the show text this morning.
It's your best podcast.
And the first hour
podcast. You should download it. Please
must listen to it.
I subscribed.
I did.
You should.
I downloaded it.
Definitely listen to it.
Yes, I got a bunch of people on the staff asking if it was real, and it was real, but what am I going to do? I'm not going to sulk about it.
So we'll put an end to that, and we got to get ready for our show.
All right. So let's let John Wallach... let's let John Wallach tell you a situation that he's going through right now.
Okay. Unfortunately, I'm going to have to take a leave of absence from the program, probably through the new year, and it has to do with my right ear. And over the summer, I kind of noticed that I was losing hearing in my right ear and go to the doctor. And the doctor, we did a lot of tests and we weren't able to figure out what was wrong. So he said, why don't you just go to Mass General and get an MRI and we'll rule some things out. And so I did that. And when the MRI came back and I met with the doctor, he just pointed to a spot. And what they found was a tumor in my right ear, behind my right eardrum. And needless to say, when you see that, it's very, very scary. What I have is called an acoustic neuroma, and unfortunately, it's more common than you would think. It's somewhat rare, but there are a lot of people that have gone through this. And an acoustic neuroma, 99 times out of 100 is benign, and fortunately for me, mine is benign as well. So I was given two options. There was the option of radiation or the option of surgery. And I have surgery on Friday morning with a gentleman that's done over 800 of these. And the regrowth rate for something like this, if you have surgery, is less than 1%. With radiation, it's a little bit more, 10 or 15 years out. So after consulting with some really good doctors at Beth Israel, I got a second opinion there, and Mass General, we decided to go with surgery. And because of that, it's not an easy surgical procedure. The surgery is 9 hours long, and I'll be laid up for at least a month and probably 6 weeks. And for that reason, I'm going to have to take a leave of absence for the program. And it hurts to do this because I love coming here every day, but it's necessary, unfortunately. And the people here at the radio station have all been fantastic about this. Mike and Mary, my bosses, have been great about this. And the people that have called and told me, you know, whatever you need, Zolak just did it a couple of seconds ago. Whatever you need, just don't hesitate to ask. And the people I work with are fantastic. And my family has been very supportive as well. So I will miss you all. But unfortunately, I will not be here till probably the new year.
Well, if you're going to get sick or you're going to have something like this happen, it's in the best city in the world. So. And I know the guys that you're going to are apparently the best in the country
yes,
as well.
Yes.
Right down the street over near Mass Gen.
And that's what's been driven home to me. And obviously there's a period when you find out something like this that you go through that period of kind of feeling sorry for yourself a little bit. But I was reminded on more than one occasion that Boston has the best medical care in America. So if you are going to get sick, you know, Mass General for me is right down the street. It makes it a very easy transition and you get a lot of confidence.
Do they let you keep the tumor?
Yes. I'm going to keep it in a bottle. I'll bring it in on January
7th. You wear it on your neck like Flavor Flav?
That's right.
When does Sarge start? When does Sarge start?
Sarge gets 6 weeks starting tomorrow.
It will not be Sarge filling in during that time. It will be...
And even Joe Murray sitting there.
So during the time that John is gone, Joe Murray will do his best to...
Tibbs on the tumor.
In the spirit of Rich's apology to Fred, would you not like to apologize to me for... cranking the balance on the headphone jack every day just because you're going deaf in one ear. It put upon me.
Yes, that's right.
Well, this thing where I had to fix it every day.
So you're going to be able to fix this, and you could still do Wake Up Wallet.
Plus, you're on the road. We joked about actually Friday.
I'm going to have some key drugs. I'm not waking up for anybody.
But it is.
You're not waking up for anyone.
To do a wake up wallet from your bed.
It's funny because it explains a lot of wall dicking in that.
Oh, yes, that's right. It does.
That wallet could legitimately has an excuse. Now, I don't buy it, but he legitimately has an excuse for not having heard you. Well, John, I'm positive that you'll have a good experience with this. That you're going to have good results from this.
Yes.
And we'll all be thinking about you during recovery. And as soon as you can, obviously, we will, we'd love to talk to you and get an update.
Yeah, sure. We'll. And you know what? Whenever you want us to send an update to people, let us know.
Absolutely.
And Rich has got a bunch of tickets to games that he can give you.
All right. Well, now you can go because I wouldn't have to give them to Wallach.
That's right. No. Then Mike and Dan step in. All right. Well, you guys enjoy yourselves. John, best of luck.
Thank you.
And we'll be talking to you soon.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.